From the studios of Boise State Public Radio News, I'm Gemma Gaudette. You're listening to Idaho Matters. Well, whether we like it or not, our kids are growing up in a digital world, and it is literally at their fingertips. So how do we, as parents and caregivers, navigate this? Devorah Heitner, PhD, is joining us today to walk us through some steps that she's laid out in her newest book, Growing Up in Public, Coming of Age in a Digital World. Devorah, really nice to have you on the show.
Thank you.
So I want to start by talking just a little bit about the premise of this book and why you decided to write it, because you first wrote the book Screenwise. And this kind of dives deeper into really that digital world, the digital footprint.
Exactly. Parents are so nervous about the reputation possibilities, you know, kids saying or doing the wrong thing and kind of blowing up their reputations. And really any of us who are on social media probably have that worry to some degree, but especially those of us who have young people in our lives as educators or parents get nervous about, you know, kids are impulsive. Will they share something they shouldn't? Is it really fair for kids to have this kind of access to harmfully blowing up their reputation when they're 12, when they're 15? Is this developmentally appropriate?
You know, that's interesting. You said when they're 12 and 15, that's literally the ages of my children. And, you know, it's this thing where as parents in this day and age, you know, I feel like the ship has sailed when it comes from keeping our kids off of not necessarily social media platforms, but the social media in general, if that makes sense. So talk a little bit about this really constant connection that kids seem to have in the digital space. And then with that, it feels to me that sometimes privacy can be kind of a thin line, if that makes sense.
Absolutely. I mean, kids are really growing up first on server-based gaming communities like Roblox and Minecraft, and then moving into spaces like Discord, potentially Instagram, Snapchat, YouTube, TikTok. And these are all incredibly powerful places to share content, get contact, connect with others, see how people are commenting. Even for kids who don't post that much, they're still often watching and seeing what other folks are doing, or they're on Snapchat seeing where their friends are on the Snap map. So there's just a tremendous amount of information about what your peers are doing, what famous people you don't know personally are doing. And it's a lot to process. And teenagers' jobs are to grow up and figure out who they are personally. And to add this much feedback, you know, likes and shares and a public number of followers on some apps like Instagram to the work that kids already need to do of growing up and figuring out who they are just adds a lot of complexity. And I think we need to do more to mentor kids on how to deal with that, including when to maybe take a break, thinking about what their boundaries are and making sure they feel comfortable figuring out what to share and not to share and knowing it's okay not to always share. At the same time, sometimes adults are the ones who are oversharing about our kids. And sometimes adults also are judging kids for what they share, but in a way that generationally doesn't make sense. Maybe kids are going to be in this generation more open about things like sexuality, about mental health. And we as adults shouldn't be applying our own standards and stigmas to that.
You know, it's interesting. You brought up a good point in the fact of you know, do we as parents overshare about our kids, right, on social media? And I'd love for you to talk a little bit more in depth about that and maybe some advice for parents and caregivers, because I know maybe, you know, a couple of years ago, my oldest in particular was basically like, stop posting stuff about me. Like, stop it. And
absolutely.
You know, like, oh, but
yeah,
it's
a lot of kids feel that way.
Yeah, like, oh, it's a cute little picture. And he's like, stop. And really now it's, I ask permission to post something about them.
I think that's the best practice. I mean, teaching kids that we respect them enough to ask for their consent before we share their image or news about them or videos is really crucial. And it's what we'd want them to do with their peers. And we want them to know they have a right to say no. If their friends wanted to share a video of them and they said no, we would be proud. So we should feel the same way if they let us know, hey, this is a boundary, please don't cross it.
So as parents then, I mean, is there kind of a certain maybe age where we should, you know, talk to them about this, right? Or say, is it okay if I post this?
I would start asking them as soon as they understand what sharing is, you know, 7 or 8 at maybe even younger for some kids, or if they're asking you to share, those are conversations we need to be having. Cause sometimes kids will be like, post this. And you might know, hey, maybe that's not a great idea for whatever reason.
Yeah.
You might say, well, let's show it to grandma when she comes over. So I think it's really important that we use our discernment with the sort of 0 to 6s or 0 to 7s. And if in doubt, don't share it out. If it's a picture of them in their underpants or anything you think peers would tease them about later, anything that you think might get your kid teased when they're 13, don't post it when they're 8, because kids will go back and find that stuff sometimes. So it's really important that we don't share things that might cause our kids to cringe either now or later on. Like, again, if in doubt, keep it in the family. Don't share it publicly. Don't share it even just with your friends, because your friends overlap. You know, some of your friends are their friends' parents, and they might leave their phone around. And that's how your kid sort of will find out, like, oh, mom shared that picture of me in my footy pajamas and my 4th grade friends are teasing me now.
Uh-huh. Oh yeah, we've had that situation happen at our house. And and you learn from it as a parent, right? And I'm curious too, though, because I know, you know, in the book you also talk about how we track our kids, I think, every move, right? There are apps to track them. I mean, where they are, I know with my kids, if I want to see their grades, I just get on. I mean, there's a website for that, right? It's just this constant fixation that I feel that a lot of parents have in regards to almost keeping track of their kids. And I can see some value in that, but at the same time, what are we doing about their sense of autonomy, but also their sense of, I think, sometimes maybe responsibility if we
are keeping track of them? Is so invasive. Yeah, the grade tracking is so invasive. And how will they learn to take care of their own overdue assignments or make up a test if we're constantly nagging and reminding them? And yet when we can see what's missing, or we think we see, because sometimes those zeros are, you know, out of date, or the teacher just hasn't updated yet, and the kid is probably more up to date than you are about that. Mm-hmm. So it can really undermine trust. It can turn our relationships with our kids into being a nagging machine. It can also undermine our relationships with their teachers or their relationships with their teachers when we get too involved. So we really do need to leave our kids a little more space, but it's very difficult. My son's high school also wants me to be on Canvas and, you know, the apps all the time looking at stuff in it. Mm-hmm. I think it's really tricky to find that balance. And same thing with Life 360. There's a lot of parental pressure to know where our kids are all the time, but our parents did not know where we were all the time when we were tweens and teens, and even for many of us as younger children, we were out, you know, doing our own thing. And I think it's important for parents to recognize that kids need to get their own sense of autonomy. They need to feel some efficacy in mm-hmm. their lives. And when we're tracking and surveilling them, it undermines their trust, it undermines our trust in them, and ultimately in their trust in themselves.
So I think, you know, one of the things that I have learned is that, I mean, I've said to my children's teachers that it's like, I don't look at their grades. I mean, I'll get in there. I mean, I get in there once in a while, but I'm like, I have the expectation that if they are not keeping up with their grades or something is going on, that you as the teacher will reach out to me. But I'm not going to be monitoring this. And it is something that I have just always been like that. Because I really believe in this idea of I have to set my kids up for success, and I cannot be the one constantly nagging them if I want them to go to that next level of responsibility. So what is your advice then for parents who may not be in this space that I've gotten to, where they do feel a sense of responsibility as a parent to be in there and checking the grades, et cetera?
I would notice if it's adding more anxiety to your life or to your relationship with your child, and think about at minimum taking it off your phone or your most frequently checked device, and then maybe go to checking it less frequently. If you're currently checking daily, or if you've ever texted your kid while they're at school in a class about a grade in another class, you know, really, really don't do that. That really undermines their confidence, their focus. So please don't do that, parents. If you're checking because your kid is struggling, you know, you might want to take it off of your phone, put it on your computer, check every couple weeks, maybe. I mean, maybe you don't want to check just at the end of the semester. Or if your kid gets special education at school or any support services at school, find out. Maybe they're checking with their resource teacher. If you have a kid who's struggling in school, hopefully they're getting some kind of support at school. It might be better for your relationship and for their autonomy if they are checking with someone, but it's an adult at school. So I think it's really important to say, it's not that nobody should be checking, but even kids should not be over-checking. And I've advised a lot of very stressed out kids to take it off their phone as well and go to checking, you know, once a week or every couple of weeks. When kids tell me they have no idea how they're doing, and some of the kids that I talked to for growing up in public were at a high school that didn't use grading apps, but they'd come from middle schools that did. And they were like, we have no idea how we're doing. And I'm like, you should not need to see your GPA down to a decimal point on a multi-day basis, like every single day, to know how you're doing. You know how you're doing. Mm-hmm. You're doing the work. You're in class. You should be able to internally assess how the learning is going. We don't want to over-focus on grades.
What about this idea then of focusing on character versus, oh my gosh, what are our kids putting out there in the digital world, right? I mean, because we see things in social media now where it's those likes, right? It's, oh, I have to, if I post something, will it be liked? Or a personal brand. I mean, it goes on and on with all of this stuff in this day and age. And then this idea of being canceled, which I find absolutely ridiculous if we're talking about kids. But how do we then really, as parents, guide them to focusing on what really matters, which is their character? And guess what? You're going to make missteps and mistakes. That's just part of the process of being human.
Absolutely. It's terrifying for kids to think that their peers could share them messing up or doing something dumb or thoughtless and that they could get canceled. And that's a very real concern for kids. So I think it's one we want to support kids on, and we want to help our kids be less quick to throw peers under the bus and more quick to see all of them as learning and growing. Obviously, if someone does something that's unacceptable to you, you're free, for example, to like not be friends with them if it's really bad, or mm-hmm. if it's one of your friends and you think there's potential they could learn and grow and they apologize, you may want to, you know, give them the grace and learn with them. But you don't have to go out of your way to amplify the mistake, even if it's someone you choose not to associate with. Maybe you don't share the video with others because then you're amplifying the harm that that person has caused. And when we say to kids, and this is very important, when we say to kids, you won't get into college if you post that, what we're actually saying to them is don't get caught, which is a really negative message. What we should be saying to kids is don't do harm. And if you have done harm, do your level best to repair that harm.
So before I let you go, what is one really easy bit of advice that you would give parents and caregivers that we could start today in working with our kids on, you know, in this digital space?
Be in conversation with them about what they love about their social media connections and what they are frustrated by or stressed by. Just being the person your kid can talk to, even to complain to you about their experiences with connecting in the digital world, is a huge resource. So many of the families that I talked to for growing up in public felt like they were really mystified by their kids. And I think if we go, especially with teens, into an invasive place of show me everything, tell me everything, that can be too much. But if you can just say, do you have any friends who you feel like are really different online than they are in person, or kind of a more open-ended question to get them to weigh in on what they think about their experiences in these digital communities, that can be a real open door. Ultimately, we want to be mentoring our kids and not just monitoring them. So we need to be in that conversation.
I like that, mentoring, not monitoring. I want to thank you so much for your time today. Thank you for joining us.
Thank you.
Thanks so much for listening to Idaho Matters. Boise State Public Radio and Idaho Matters are members of the NPR Network. It's an independent coalition of public media podcasters. You can find more shows in the network wherever you get your podcasts. I'm Gemma Gaudette. We'll see you tomorrow.
Did you know you are physically adapting to all your swiping, scrolling, and tapping?
We're changing our bodies and what they're able to do through our habits.
NPR's Body Electric, a special interactive series investigating how to fix the relationship between our tech and our health. Listen in the TED Radio Hour feed wherever you get your podcasts.